Good evening. This is the Saturday evening Bible study. I'm Johnny Coffey, and this is Harmony Baptist Church. This evening, I have, you can tell I'm all dressed up for the occasion. It's almost Thanksgiving. Be mindful and thankful for, first of all, you should thank God for everything He does. And I don't mean flippantly. I don't mean just, oh, thank you, God, for this and this and this. I mean, really, get with God and count your blessings. Take a piece of paper and count your blessings. Write them down. Write down everything. I don't care from being born in a country you're born in, being breathed in, to being good looking, to having kids, marriage, wife, whatever, job, house, your Bible. Oh my goodness, every time I look at the Bible and just, when you study the history of the Bible and why you have it, be thankful that God, what God's done to bring the Word of God to you. Alright? This evening we're going to be in John chapter 6. And this is a lesson I've taught a few times. And people from my church who listen to this, they were like, oh, I've already heard this. But the thing is I noticed on the internet, I looked through the lessons the other day, and I noticed that this had never been recorded, and I really want to get this out here, because I think this is good. This would be good for our church. There's a lot of people who are missing church. And I'm not talking about the people who are in quarantine. I'm not talking about the people who are isolated by sickness, whatever. I'm talking about the people who have quit serving in their local church because they've gotten lazy and they've gotten used to sitting at home. Okay? We have to meet together in some form. I understand there are churches that can only meet on the internet because of whatever lockdown or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? If you're in a situation where you cannot physically meet, this statement is not about you. This statement is about people who do not care enough to meet. Alright? We're going to be in John chapter 6 this evening, and I'm just going to start in verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. For he knew, himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. 12 baskets. You think he was trying to make a point? There's his 12 disciples saying, what are you going to do, Jesus? When he takes care of the situation, he has a completely full basket for each and every disciple. All 12 disciples, okay? Then those men, which, and I understand Jesus had more than 12 disciples following him, but there were 12 that remained, okay? Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that the prophet that should come into the world. I want you to go back to verse 9. And I want to show you a little bit of something. This is not an exposition of the passage. This is not even a sermon, I wouldn't even say. The reason I teach this and I teach it the way I do is because this spiritually means a lot to me. Because when I was younger, when I first got saved, I was preaching in children's church. And one particular Sunday, I stayed up half the night trying to come up with a lesson. You know, I was working 12, 16-hour shifts, third shift, and the weekend I was kind of tired and wore out. And I just honestly didn't feel like doing anything, you know. And so I had slept instead of properly studying, okay. And I was just, it was just one of those times where I wasn't filled with the Spirit, and I just was like, you know, I didn't care. And so I get up the next morning, and I'm feeling guilty about it. So I'm praying and praying and praying, and I'm like, Lord, I don't care about me saving face. I don't care about me being whatever, but these children matter. And I know you have a word for these children, and I know you love these children. I said, Lord, please give me a message for these kids, not to make me look good, but to just speak to them, okay? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ gave to me. There is a lad here which has five barley. This is verse 9. There is a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? Christians, three things in the Christian life. If you get these three things, it's three things. Yeah, I'm not talking about politics. Three things. If you get these three things, you will deal with so much of your, you're like, what is God's will? What should I do? God's will. If you get these three things, it will help you so much in the Christian life. They've helped me over the years. I get bogged down and I start analyzing and being like, oh, I need to learn this. I need to learn that. I need to study more. And I do need to do those things. But when it all comes down to it, these three things. Well, God, what do you want me to do? Right here it is. The first one is serve where you are. Look in verse 9. It says, there is a lad here. We don't know anything about this boy. We don't know nothing about his family. We don't know how much of his family was there. But he was there. He was there where Jesus, there's 5,000 men plus women and children. Out of 5,000 men, this little boy was exactly where Jesus could use him. And you think about that in your personal life, okay? A lot of us get bogged down. I feel the same way. You bog down at a job you don't like. You bog down at a living situation you're not happy with. Maybe you're far from home. Maybe you're sick, disabled. Maybe you're mentally ill. Maybe whatever the situation is, you're stuck. You can't get out. You can't leave. You can't move to another place of the country or another part of the city. You can't. You're stuck where you're at. Serve where you are. If you're working in children's church, serve where you are. If God wants you to go somewhere, He'll lead you somewhere. He'll move you somewhere. Serve where you are. But if you're not serving where you are, it doesn't matter. Why would he move you somewhere? Why would He put you on a mission field? To reach, you know, I have a brother who's in South Africa, and he's got a ministry there. And why would he move you to South Africa to start churches or whatever you think you should be doing if you're not going to reach the black people that live across the street? You have black people live across the street, and you're and I know not everybody in Africa is black. I get that. But the point is if you're not willing to reach your neighbor across the street, why would he move you over there? Serve God where you're at. Reach the lost souls where you're at. Vacuum where you're at. Sweep where you're at. Your family. Minister to your children. Minister to your wife. Minister to your husband. That's the nucleus of the church. Everybody talks about the church, the church, the church. We're the church. You know? I don't get to church. I don't come to church. I'm at church when I'm sitting in my chair. My boys come for visitation. It's still the church. I minister to my if I'm not willing to minister to my 13-year-old and preach and teach and lead him, why should I come here and do this? Why should I do this on the internet for thousands, millions of people that I don't even know, but I'm caring enough to do it for my 13-year-old? Serve where you are. Number two, use all you have. Says there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. That's what he had. To the best of our knowledge from scripture, that's all that boy had. And he gave it all. That was his lunch. Okay? His mom had prepared it. Somebody had prepared it for this boy. And he offered it. He had it. Don't worry about what other people have and what they don't have. I get frustrated too. Okay? I have a hard time thinking. I have bipolar 1. And PTSD and ADHD, yes, they're issues. It causes me problems when I try to study, and I get lost. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes I say things wrong. Sometimes I say words backwards or I mix them up. It's because it doesn't always work right. But I get frustrated. I'll see people who have all these gifts. They can read and photographic memory, and they read 100 books and understand the whole thing and not get confused. And I get so frustrated because they're wasting what God's given them. And I'm like, God, if you give that to me, I can do more. But that's not how you serve God. You don't have to serve God by having perfect abilities. You don't glorify God by having perfect outlines or perfect. You don't glorify God by looking perfect or being perfect. You glorify God by taking all of your insecurities, all your problems, all of the things, all the good things you have and all the bad things, and you try to put them together and you try to let God use whatever you have. Okay? Do your best. Honor God. Remember, what's the first rule? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love God. And then second is likened it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Start with loving God. Everything else flows out of it. Love him with all your heart and all your soul. Give him everything. Not partial. Give him everything. Okay? Number one, serve where you are. Go to the grocery store. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't walk around handing out gospel tracts to everybody while they're trying to do their thing. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's some things that are appropriate. Job situation. If you're on a job situation, don't be a bad worker by interrupting work to talk to somebody about Jesus. Now, if you're in a situation where it's okay for you to chit-chat and you're talking about Jesus, but you know those situations, and you know what you can do on your breaks and those things. Don't be a bad worker. Don't disgrace God. Okay? Serve where you are. Use all you have. Number three, don't doubt. It says, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Okay? Don't doubt. Do your best. Make sure you love God. Try to obey. You realize that you have to study your Bible. There's no such thing as, it bugs me when I hear people talk about preachers and teachers and all that stuff. Every single Christian is supposed to study theology. We are all supposed to. You should have a theology book in your house and you should be reading it. Okay? You should be read your Bible, read a theology book, study, you know, take a course, Bible on the internet, if they have a free one or whatever. You should know your Bible. You should know your Bible. That's a command from Scripture. Okay? This idea that preachers and teachers are the only ones that are supposed to study their Bible, that's not in the Word of God. Every Christian should know doctrine. You have a responsibility, especially as a man, a father. A father should know his Bible. He should know doctrine. He should know why he's in the church he's in. Okay? If you're a Baptist, a Methodist, Presbyterian, you should know other than my mama went there. Okay? You should study scripture and come to the conclusion that you're in the right church. Okay? All right? We all have a responsibility. And your theology may change because you say it should. If you're in the same church, you've been in the same church ever since you got saved, and you agree with everything that they believe, everything that they believe, the only way you would get that way is if you're following a man and not following the Bible, because there's no way you can read the Bible. Different people read the Bible and believe the same exact thing on every single point. Okay? It's not going to happen. All right? So study your Bible. Okay? Follow the Lord. Do your best. And don't doubt. Okay? This Thanksgiving, be thankful for what you have. Don't take it for granted. And find someone this holiday season to give back to. Find somebody, and if you can't find someone who can't afford or can't give back to you, okay, in that same situation, okay? If you find somebody that needs help, that really needs help, that can't pay you for what you're doing, that can't give back. I'm not saying there's anything wrong, because most people do that if you try to help them. But find someone that needs help. Find somebody outside your family that needs a helping hand, okay? Maybe they need yard work done and they can't afford and they're not healthy enough to do it on themselves. Maybe someone wants to study the Bible, but they don't know where to start. You know, maybe they want to learn doctrine and they're too overwhelmed with the idea of taking a course on the internet or whatever. Take your Bible and some books over to their house and spend an hour trying to teach the Bible. You know? We all should be discipling someone. If you're not discipling a person, then you're not living for Christ. Okay? All Christians are disciples, or they're not. If you're going to be, you have to make disciples. The disciples made, Jesus made them. Disciple the disciples, that's why we call them disciples, and the disciples discipled somebody, and they discipled somebody, they led them to Christ, they didn't just give them the gospel, they discipled them. And that's our command is discipleship, okay? Now, if we're not discipling, we're not serving God, plain and simple. If you're not discipling somebody, you're not serving God, okay? But remember those. Very important in the Christian life. Serve where you are. Use all you have, all the resources, talents, gifts, okay? And even use your mistakes. I have mistakes. My kids come and visit me on the holidays, okay? I've made some serious mistakes. Guess what? I'm using those to teach and trying to help people not make the same mistakes, okay? And how to live with the mistakes and move on and serve God, okay? Number three, don't doubt. If you know you've studied the scriptures, you're doing your best, trust that God's going to do something with your life. Good night. Happy holidays.